Okay, yesterday we finished off. The Gemara was discussing what are considered dividers for fields. So the Gemara has gone through a progression. The first Memra said that the divider or fields being divided is only relevant when it comes to Nichse Ager, when one wants to be Mazik Nichse Ager. When it comes to Peah and Tumah, then it doesn't apply. Then we had the Ravin saying the name of Rabbi Yochanan, it even applies to Tumah and Peah, but it does not apply to Shabbos. And then the last thing that we had was that Rava says that it even applies by Shabbos. And where is it applicable by Shabbos? It's applicable to the din of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says that Hotza'ah, when a person does a chatzi shiur of Hotza'ah, even if it's done behelam echad, even if it's done one forgetting where you'd be chayav a chatat, nevertheless, you're not chayav if you don't bring it into a single reshut. At least according to most of the Rishonim. The Rach has an unusual shita who tries to say that it has to be out of leave a single reshut, not enter a single reshut. So the qualifications, the Gemara now is going to discuss on the top of Dun Vavam and Aleph, the qualifications for what's considered a separation for reshuyot. So now, Amar Rabba, Vahu Sheish Chiyuv Chatat Benehem, that when Rabbi Yossi says that they are two distinct areas, meaning that they're considered or classified as two distinct reshuyot to Shabbat, that's only if they're divided by another reshut, then on Shabbos, Mina Torah would be classified as a reshut. Mina Torah, there are only two reshuyot, right? On Shabbos, is reshut Yachid and reshut Rabin. Most of what we're discussing here is a field. Fields are Carmelite. Most of them are not, do not have a status of reshut Midoraisa, and therefore would not be classified as a separation in terms of a din for Rabbi Yossi. Aval Carmelite law, a reshut de Rabbanan is not enough in order to classify it as or considered a divider between these fields. Abai Amar, afilu Carmelite, that even a Carmelite is classified as a divider, meaning from Yossi's din, but nevertheless, aval pisla lo. Pisla, what's a pisla? Pisla is a makom aptur. Right? It's a makom that is not qualified. It's not over. It's less than yudamot and less than 4x4 tefachim. It's makom aptur. So from that area, since you are not chayav, no matter what, even midrabanan, to move, it's as if it doesn't exist. And therefore, it's not considered a separation. Rav Amar, afilu pisla. Rav says, even a pisla is enough or sufficient, meaning that a different reshut. That's a makom tur is also a different reshut. So if that separates, makom tur separates between two reshuyot, a reshuyot a yachid here, he's going to, that's enough to be classified as shtei reshuyot to Rabbi Yossi. But as the Rav of the Tamei, Rav is according to his own Shita, Damar Rava, Rishut Shabbat, Rishut Gidin Dami. The same din that applies to Gitin applies to Shabbat. So, what's the din by Gitin? The din by Gitin is that if a person is makneh a property to his wife, or who is soon to be his ex-wife, and he wants to give her a get. So when he gives her a get, her chatzer, or her property can be koneh on her behalf. That's only if it's her chatzer. So if the husband is makneh her property, it says that puts the get into the property, or throws the get into the property, she's koneh the get through the chatzer, and she's divorced. Now what happens if there's a pisla, if there's a makom atur, a pillar that's standing in the area of the chatzer, and he throws the get to her and it lands on that pillar? Rava says she's not divorced. Why? Because a person is only mashil makom echad, velo shtei mekomot. A person gives property to someone else in order to acquire something, or in order to, with that property, acquire an object. They only give them one, they only lend them one place. They don't give them two places. And a pisla is classified as a different reshut or a different place. And since it's classified as a different place, he didn't lend her that place. He didn't give her that. Even though it's right in the middle of the chatzer, he didn't give that to her. And if the get lands on there, it's not a good get. So you see from Rava that the pisla, this makom aptur, is designated or defined as a separate reshut or a separate entity. So too, Rava's latame. Just like by Gitin, he classifies a makom aptur, pisla, as a separate entity. So too here, by the Dinei Shabbat, he says it's a different entity or different reshut, enough of a different reshut to be mafsik between reshiyot, to be chayav according, or to be patur, really, according to Rabbi Yossi. Now, the Gemara says, Ein sham lo mitzar v'lo chatzav mai. If you have a field that does not have a chatzer or a mitzav, some sort of dividing line between them, or chatzav, the plants that they planted in order to mitcham et ha'aretz, to divide up the gvulot ha'aretz from Yeshua's time, if those are missing, now, Gemara's, there's nothing there. So now what's the Gemara's question? What do you mean, what's the question? Mara's question is what we had before, b'makush echad, with one, you know, knock when the mitzareha are not defined, where the borders are not defined, what's the din? Well, we know that already. That's machokas Rav and Shmuel. We talked about Rav and Shmuel before, what happens, makush echad. And then we said that when it's mitzareha not defined, right, then the makush echad does not, according to Rav, you know, may help, according to Tosfos, according to the Rashbam, he needs to plow the whole area, whatever it is. We have those answers already. So the Rashbam says, because we heard from, in this case, from Yochanan, from others, that there's a different shiur here. They're talking about something else. They're talking about the Meitzar and Chatzav. So the Gemara wants to know, according to Rabbi Yochanan, what happens when you have a Makush Echad? So Perish Rabbi Marinus Mishmo, Koshin Yekret Al Shmo. That's his definition of what you get with a Makush Echad, is anything that's called by his name. I mean, when they say Sadeh Ploni, or this belongs to so-and-so, whatever would be encompassed. If you say already that, oh, this individual owns three fields, right, then that's already separate fields. But if you all say, if it's all, you say this person's field, and in the singular, whatever would be included in that singular term, that is what's defined as the field, and when you do a makush echad, you get the whole, that whole area. Hechi dami, what's the case? They call it be garguta. Garguta is to drink, right, or to consume liquids. But here, garguta means to feed the field, to water the field. So whatever they call the watering area, I mean that this ger, right here it's next to a ger that he's taking possession of, would water his field with this bor, the single cistern that's there, he would water this entire field, whatever that would be encompassed by that single watering, that's under his name in a single field, and that would be encompassed by one makush echad. Alright. Yativ Rav Acha bar Avya Kamed Rav Asi, Yativ Kamar Bishmei, it's in his name, the Rabbi Asi bar Chanina. Chatzuva Mafsik Benichse Ager. Chatzuva works to divide up the Nichse Ager. That's enough of a border. Mar says, my Chatzuva. What says Chatzuva? Sam Rav Yudam Rav, Shabotichem Yeshua Yisrael at Aretz. So that's the Chatzav that we've been discussing along here. That is the plant that was used by Yoshua in order to divide up Eretz Yisrael. Because again, it grows straight, tall, and has roots that go straight down. So it's a good way to define property lines. Rami Yehuda Amarav, Lo mani Yeshua la'yarot amdot al gvulin. You look in Sefer Yeshua enumerates the cities that were given to the Shvatim or conquered by the Shvatim. So, honestly, Pashup Shat, if you look in Yeshua, is all the cities that are enumerated are the cities on the borders of those Shvatim. That's why Beit Shemesh is Mofia in Yeshua, because it's the border between Yehuda and Dan. So meaning that cities that were on the border are enumerated. It's Pashup Shat, but the Gemara says it. In Achanami, the Rashbam says that. In Achanami, this is just Pashup Shat in the Pesukim. But the Yeshua only enumerated the cities that are Omdim Agvinim. So Amar Yud Amar Shmuel. Kol Shir Ro'a Kodesh Baruch Hu Moshe, Chaya B'Masir. What is the definition of Eretz Yisrael, the Kedushat Shvi'it, Masrot, Trumot? So that's the answer. The answer is anything that Hashem showed to Moshe. Right, so that go up and you'll see everything that Moshe saw is classified in Kedushat Eretz Yisrael. But that's not true, right? Oh, exactly. So Tosu says exactly what David's saying here, that this is a level demand Omar, that Kedusha Rishona Kitcha Latid Lavo, Kitcha L'Shaita V'Kitcha Latid Lavo, that it was a permanent Kedusha. We don't hold that way, or this is according to most Rishonim, we don't hold that way. We hold that it was a Kedusha Shniyah that was Koveya, only the Olei Bavel were Koveya. But according to this Mandam, according to Tosos, it has to be that it's Kedusha Rishon. Otherwise, what are they talking about here? That what Moshe saw is all right, is Kadosh. And we know that extends far beyond what we would have considered the borders of Kedushat Eretz Yisrael today. So now, I'm reviewed on Mar Shmuel. Oh, we did that. Lafuke Mai. So what are we excluding from that? I mean, what is excluded when you say that what Moshe saw is Kadosh B'Kedusha Eretz Yisrael? What is it that we're excluding? So Mar gives is going to give a list. So the first one, Lafuke Mai, Lafuke Kini, Knizi, B'Kadmoni. They have to exclude the Kini, Knizi, and Kadmoni. So Tanya, Rabbi Meir Omer, that is Naftucha, Arba, B'Shalma. Yud Omer, Har Seir, Amon, U'Moav. And Rishim Omer, Ardiskis, Asya, V'Asfamya. So these are the places, these three places. It seems to be that they are... There's a sheet in Tosfos in the Gemara in Gittin. There's a sheet in Tosfos that says that anything west of Eretz Yisrael, because there it says V'Hayam, right? And Tavchet, the Mishnah Tavchet says that anything in the Yam is included in Eretz Yisrael. And there's a sheet that was brought when the Tosfos... Right, as far as you go west. Right, and the... Right. the islands, anything in the Mediterranean, and there were those that said even the land masses that are parallel to Eretz Yisrael, there is such a shita. So I it's funny because there they argued at the Amzer Rematam, the Ria, I can't remember, says, no, look, we live in France, and we never took Maisus and Trumas our whole life. What do you mean? It's not like we're... But here you have an explicit Gemara. Sfamio is not part of Eretz Yisrael, which would have been, right, something that would have been included if you believe that the Tchumei Eretz Yisrael went that far west. So, anyway, I don't know why they mentioned, I don't know all these places. Let's discuss a little bit. Asya might be in Eretz Yisrael, not in Eretz Yisrael. What is interesting is, obviously, Har Seir, Amon, and Moav. Because, if that's the case, right, what is the status of those areas, which are Be'evar Yardain? So now, it suggests here that they don't have Kedushat Eretz Yisrael, Amon, Moav, and Seir. So Tosfos asks the question. It says, if you look in Tosfos, it's a very important Tosfos. Har Seir, Amon, Moav, Tema. Demashma, Amon, Moav, Lo Kavshum, Olei Mitzrayim. That they didn't conquer them. But that's not true, because we said that in the Yevamot it says, Amon Moav Masrin Maaser Ani B'Shvit. Damar Mar Harbei Kachim Kavshu Olei Mitzrayim. Kasavar Kedusha Rishon Olokit Shalatid Avo. V'Nichum Shismuchu Olei Maniyim B'Shvit. So they were conquered by Olei Mitzrayim, not by Olei Bavel, but the Chamim were still Matzrich, them to be Mafrish, Shemot Maaser, to take care of the Aniyim. But what do you see from that? That they were conquered by Olei Mitzrayim. Vein Lomar Dohotem Ba Amon Moav Shetiaru B'Sichon. Right, wait a minute. There are parts of Amon Moab that Sichon conquered, and then Bnei Israel conquered Sichon. So that's why they have Kedushat Haaretz. That says you can't say that. Da'atam Nami Shnog Shvit. Dino Ever Yardain. Talking about when we quote Gemara in Yevamot, says that they were not Noheg Shvit. They gave Masrot on Shvit. Instead of Shvit, they gave Masrot. But in Ever Yardain has Kedushat Haaretz. At least according to this Shita in Tosfos. And therefore, the Shvi'is was Noheg in Ever Yardain. We know that. That's the Mishnah in Psachim. Mishnah Psachim, they say Shlosh Hashtot Lebiur, right? Which is Yehuda, Galil, and Eivar HaYardin. Right, so now, what do you do with that? So, V'omer Rabbeinu Tam. It's an interesting sheet, the Rabbeinu Tam. The Eivar HaYardin, Hainu Eretz Sichon V'og, Sholo Haita Mi'amon Moav. That the Eretz, Eivar HaYardin, is the area. When we talk about Eivar HaYardin, that's the area of, right, of Sichon and Og, that was in time of Amon Moav. V'od Mitaretz Rabbeinu Tam. Divyamot, Nami Ari Ba'amon Moav, Shiloti Aru B'Sichon Kitahacha. V'lo par the Freish Adam, El Freish Ma, Lama Masri Masir Ani, V'lo Masri Masir Shini. Shiloti Shtot Seder Ashanim. So, the Rabbeinu Tam suggests that, first of all, Eivar Yardain, Eretz Sichon and Og, number one, have Kedushat Eretz Yisrael, and there you know, even Shvit, because that's Eivar Yardain. Number two, Eretz Amon Moav. Also, when the Gemara in Yevamot says that the Olei Mitzrayim conquered them, and therefore maybe they had Kedusha, that's not true. Eretz Amon Moav and Seir do not have, and that's our Gemara over here, they don't have Kedusha. Why are they mentioning the Gemara in Yevamot? So when it says, Rabbi Natan says, the Gemara is only explaining why they gave Maaser Ani that year. Why did they give Maaser Ani during Shviz? Why did they give Maaser Ani during Shviz? Because they didn't want to mess up the cycle. As opposed to the six-year cycle that was in Eretz Yisrael, we had Maaser Sheni, then Maaser Ani the third year, Maaser Sheni, and then again in the sixth year you had Maaser Sheni. If they gave Maaser Sheni in the seventh year, you have two problems. One is that you would throw the cycle off, and number two is you wouldn't have the Ani and wouldn't have anything to get. So they made it Maaser Ani. So that's all the Gemara is explaining. Why did the Rabbanan metakein Maaser Ani over here? Not that they were talking about that it has Kedusha or Olei Mitzrayim. They were just explaining the explanation.
What?
Why do they have Masrot Bichla? That's because that's what he says. The Rabbanan instituted to protect the Aniyim, to have the Aniyim have a place to go during Shvi'it. Otherwise, the Aniyim had nowhere to go during Shvi'it, and therefore that's right. Although it's less produce, we know that when Shvi'it is better. But it's Hefker, so it wasn't stuff where they got Matanot in Aniyim, where they got Maaser Ani, where they got, I mean, large volumes of produce. That's a lot more than Hefker that's open to everybody. I mean, it's not just open to Aniyim when you're talking about Hefker Shavit. So that's Rabbeinu Tam's Shita. There's also another important Rashbam. Important Rashbam is about how or what determines Kedushat Eretz Yisrael. So look at the Rashbam of Chayv Maser. What is the Kedushat Eretz Yisrael? The Haim, right? Haim, Zayin HaMemim, HaKtubim B'chol Makom. What is Kedushat Eretz Yisrael? That is the Eretz Knan or the seven Amimim. Aval kini knizi v'kadmoni shenu l'Avraham Avinu b'nei Ptarim lo yitchavu b'maaser l'atid avo. Shechzerum lanu latid, kedemar b'reshit rabba. They will never be chayav in maser. Those three areas will never be chayav in maser. Inami, im kavshu Yisrael mehem achrei mot Yeshua, kulam peturim min maser. Had Bnei Yisrael conquered them after the death of Yeshua, they would not be chayav in maser. Dechtiv, tam, zot aretz ashen ishbati. Zot, l'munehani. Ksud zot, shinostu l'Abraham ala shavua. Kenirah b'enai. V'apagav d'rifaim nami ktiv v'Abraham. It says Eretz Rifaim by Abraham. Right? And lo mitzinulei, dainu chivi, delo ktiv hotam. Matzinu shekabsham Moshe. And Moshe conquered that area because it says Eretz Rifaim. Right? In Dvarim, when it says they talk about Eretz Sichon Amog, it says that it was also called beforehand Eretz Rifaim. So mashuan dechtiv, ahu yikro Eretz Rifaim, klomar hain Rifaim, shenitan Abraham ben Abtarim. So, even though Rifaim was given by Abraham, we don't exclude it because that's the area of the Chivi. Alright? And Moshe was the one who conquered it, and that's what determines. So based on this, what's considered the kibush? The kibush arts is anything that was done by Moshe and Yoshua, but only those that were done by the Zayim and Amamim. Once Moshe and Yeshua are done, you cannot extend Dushat Haaretz, and even im kabshu Yisrael mehem achrei mot Yeshua, they're patur min amaser. The Rashbam even says that even latid lavo, that they may not even be have kedusha, because the kedushat Eretz Canaan is limited to right, the area of the Zayin Amim that was conquered by Moshe and Yoshua, or the areas that were conquered by Moshe and Yoshua, even though there is a greater area of Eretz Yisrael, which is basically what the Rashbam is suggesting. There's an area that has kedushat Eretz Yisrael, and there's a large area which is Eretz Yisrael that is nitan for conquering by Bnei Yisrael, but not necessarily be appended with kedushat Eretz. That's impressive. Oh, very good. So that happens to be right. So what about the Arzot that David HaMelech conquered? So it sounds from the Rashbam, it sounds like the problem is that they're outside of the Zayin Amamim. They weren't conquered by Moshe and Yeshua, and that's the problem. According to the Rambam, if you look up the Rambam, Hilchos Shumos, Perek Aleph, look up Rashi also has a similar shita in other places, that he says, what is the problem of the kibush of David HaMelech? Because it was a kibush?
Before the kibush.
Right, why was it was a kibush rabim. According to the Rambam, it was a kibush rabim. He had Beis Din. He went with the Kol Yisrael, but the problem was that he conquered it lifnei. Right. Before they conquered the entirety of Eretz Yisrael. So that's why it's called the kibush yachid. That's what Rashi says. Rashi says, Tosfos disagrees with Rashi there, but Rashi says it's called the kibush yachid because he went ahead and conquered it before they conquered the entirety of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, the problem, the big nafkamina between these two different shitot. And what will happen, can the areas of Aram and those of, you know, Eivar Yadin and Knizi Kadmoni, right, can they be classified as Kedushat Haaretz? If you believe like the Rambam, that the Chisaron was at the end and conquered all of Eretz Yisrael, then maybe if you had the conquering of all of Eretz Yisrael, and then you took the possession of those properties, they could take on Kedushat Haaretz. So according to the Rashbam, it's impossible for them to ever get Kedushat Haaretz because, right, they are limited to those areas that conquered by Moshe and Yoshua. And that wasn't conquered by Moshe and Yeshua cannot take on the Kedushat Haaretz. It's a big nafkamina on how you view the lack of Kedusha in those areas or the inability to extend Kedusha into those areas.
And the Torah defines the boundaries.
Right, so that's important. The Torah has two different definitions of the borders. There's the borders in Maaseh, which conform to what the Gemara is discussing over here. And the borders that are found in Dvarim, they're found in Etchanan, they're also found in Brit Ben Abtarim, which extend out to Prat, Nachal Prat. Torah is soter itself about what the borders of Eretz Yisrael. The way to reconcile, and that's what the Rashbam is doing over here, there's two different places. There's Eretz Canaan, that has Kedushat Haaretz. There's Eretz Yisrael, which is a larger political Eretz Yisrael, which the Jews are entitled to conquer as part of the promise to Abraham Avinu. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they will get Kedushat Haaretz. The way the Rambam is learning is that there were two problems. One promise that was going to be, you know, at the time of Yeshua and Moshe, and at the time the promise that was going to be Latid Lavo, which is that that promise will only extend in the future. So again, you have to explain the difference between them.
Mishnah. Ayu shnai me'idim oto shakla shalosh shanim. Two edim testified that he ate for 3 years. Now, benimsu zomimim, they were found to be zomimim. Two other edim show up and say, you were with us, how could you ever testify to this? Shamim lo etako. They have to... Bechutz Laretz, you weren't here, you weren't in this area at all. How could you ever testify to this? So then, what does he have to do? First of all, the owner gets the land back, because the chazakah is not a good chazakah. Plus, the edim have to compensate him
for the value of the land that they would have caused for him to take away, because there's a malnasot. They have to compensate him. Shnayim b'rishona, shnayim b'shniya, v'shnayim shlishit. You have two edim that this individual was there the first year, two edim he was there the second year, two edim he was there in the shlishit. Mishalshim b'nehem. That through that they establish a chazakah, because you have three separate kitei edim. They're testifying that there's a chazakah here. If they're found to be zomimim, then they split the cost between them. But that can only be true if what? Kulam nizmu. Right? That all of them have to be found to be zomimim. Because if only one of them is found zomimim, then there's not. Because they're classified as a single testimony, but as far as the fact that they are testifying to a single cause of shloshanim, and therefore, as yuzmu kulam, right, they're not going to pay. But once yuzmu kulam, then they pay mishalshim b'neim. Then they have to split the cost by a third.
I mean, they have to understand it, because each one would say, we didn't testify for 3 years.
Right. So you have to see in the Gemara, why is it classified as a good testimony? That's the Gemara, exactly what they're going to discuss. Shlosh achim ve'achad mitzteref. Three brothers, each brother is testifying about 1 year. There's another individual, a third party, that is mitzteref with each of the brothers to testify for the years. So then, first of all, Arielu Shlosh Idiot. They're classified as three different idiot, so that there's no problem of kirva here. So they're not classified as krovim that are testifying, because each year is classified as a separate entity. Nevertheless, just like we saw before, they're classified as a single idiot when it comes to hazamah. To be mazim them, you need to be mazim the entirety of the hazamah, because otherwise you can't get rid of the 3 years over here. Matinitzan, this is your question, David. Matinitzan, the local Rabbi Akiva. Mishnah's not going to give you. Why? The Tanya, I'm Rabbi Yosef Shalach Abba Chalaf, the Itzel Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri, Lilmo Torah. So it's when Rabbi Chalafta went to learn Torah with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. The Rashbam over here points out that Rabbi Yossi Stam in the Gemara is Rabbi Yossi bar Chalafta, Resi ben Chalafta. And I don't know, he doesn't explain this, but it sounds like that's why he's called Abba Chalafta, because he's the father of Rabbi Yossi. I think that's what the Rashbam is indicating. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Abba Chalafta. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was the one who went to Rabbi Chalafta to learn Torah. Amar lo arei she'achla shana rishona b'fnei shnayim. Shniya b'fnei shnayim, shlishi b'fnei shnayim ma'u. Din of our Mishnah, what's the din? Amalo, harizu, chazaka. That's a good chazaka. Amalo, afani omer kain. I agree with you. So, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Abba Chalafta agree that that's a good chazaka. Ella, Rabbi Akiva cholek b'davar zeh. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva disagrees with the Mishnah. Why? Rabbi Akiva omer, davar velo chatzi davar. That when it comes to testifying, it's right, that lo yukum echad b'davar, that a pi shnei adim yakum davar, right, that through two adim yakum davar. So it has to be a davar, velo chatzi davar. And here, Rabbi Akiva has a good claim, which is that each of the years is a chatzi davar. Each of the testimonies does not teach you, with each of them independently, they tell you nothing. Only together do they make up an edut. So here you have chatzi davar. Rabbanan, hai davar, velo chatzi davar, my abdile. What about the Rabbanan? Okay, so they don't agree with Rabbi Akiva, but what do they do with it? Where do they use it? It's clear they don't use it here, but where do they use it? Where do they have that din? If it's in a situation where, as the Gemara discusses in other places, about shtei sarot, right? That in order to a woman to be classified as a gdola, she has to have shtei sarot, or same with the male. So the shtei sarot, what happens if we have a deem that come and test, one aid testifies that there's a sa'ar on her back, and one aid comes and testifies that there's a sa'ar on her front. So you have one aid for each of the two hairs. So Gemara says, "Hai chatzi." The Gemara goes, "Hai chatzi davar." You worried about chatzi davar there? It's chatzi eduti. It's not even chatzi davar. There's not even an edut here. You have two single edim testifying about two different facts. That doesn't make an edut. Ela limute shnayim omrim echad begavav, shnayim omrim echad bekrisa. No, by us, you have two edim testifying to each inch. So there's clearly edut. Question is if there's a davar. Yeah, the problem is that here we had one and one. Now the Gemara says, no, what did we say? Two and two. Two Eidim say that they saw a hair on the back. Two Eidim saw they saw a hair on the front. So that's considered Chatzid Davar Velo, right, and not Davar Velo Chatzid Davar. Now, the problem is, now, what's the distinction? Why is that different than the Chezkat Shloshanim? Why is that different than Chezkat Shloshanim? Chezkat Shloshanim is Eidim come testify 1 year. Eidim testify 2nd year. Eidim testify 3rd year. None of them by themselves can create the chazakah. Only they're edut, but they can't create a chazakah without the other party. So why is that different than the Seharot? One edut, full edut, comes and testifies the hair on the back, and another edut comes and testifies about the hair on the front. Why is that different than the years of Chazakah? Now, it's clear, the Rashbam says, can't be a case where they came sequentially. Because it has to be that they're testifying at the same time, because if they, one set of Edim comes testify the hair, and then another Edim comes a day later and testify the hair, in the interim, the other hair might have fallen off. So it can't be. It must be that they're seeing it simultaneously. And when they see it simultaneously, we're calling it a chatzi davar. Sequentially, because when the second set of Edim come and testify about the one hair, the other hair might have already fallen out, right? I mean, we don't have a simultaneous testimony to the fact that there are two hairs, shtei saroti. So, why is this different? And so the Rashbam says that, this is the Rashbam's explanation, what I just said is exactly the difference. The Rashbam says that the difference between sarot and cheskat shloshanim is the difference between simultaneous and sequential. By shtei sarot, the only way to have edut here is when it's simultaneous. Therefore, there is a davar, v'lo chatzi davar, that applies over here. Because we see that they have to be there. By cheskat shloshanim, by definition, it's a sequential edut. That even if it was a single set of edim that were testifying to the shloshanim, each year is a sequential year. I mean, that they testified three separate years along the way. And the fact that it can be done sequentially is also indicative of the fact that it's not classified as a chatzi davar. That's how the Rashbam explains. The Rashbam explains the distinction between cheskat shloshanim and shtei sarot is that whether it can be done sequentially.
Well, when the edim come and they testify the shtei sarot, they're not talking about the same time.
They are. There's a case where it's the same time.
That's the Gemara's question.
But no, yeah, the Gemara is saying that is not the Gemara's question. That's what the Gemara says is, according to Rabbanan, chatzi davar. That's the Gemara wants to know what is the chatzi.
Why is it chatzi davar?
So that's what the Rashbam says, because it cannot be done sequentially. Since it cannot be done sequentially, therefore, according to the Rabbanan, since it has to be done simultaneously, that by definition is you need a single set of Edim to testify to that.
Why?
If you have two Edim.
We start Sunday morning at 8 o'clock in the morning. We do
But we have a limud of davar below chatzi davar. So the Gemara wants to where to apply it. The Gemara says that's where it applies. Exactly this case. You're right. Ain't no chanami. It should be fine. But that's the chiddush of Torah. Says no, it doesn't work. That's the chiddush of Torah. Why doesn't that chiddush also apply to shloshanim? Right. So shloshanim is a different case totally, and that's why the Rashbam says it doesn't apply there. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says that even if it were the fact, even if by shtei sarot if sequentially worked. Even if it worked, that you could testify on different days, it still would not, that would still be classified as a chatzi davar. Why? What's the difference between, what's the difference between cheskat shloshanim and a shtei sarot? So he says, because the edut by the sarot, right, have no value. When you have a team that come and testified about a single sara, right? What they're testifying about, it's almost like what we discussed yesterday in Shabbos, which it's a chatzi malacha. They come and testify one se'ar. One se'ar is irrelevant. Halachically irrelevant. So when Edim come and testify about one se'ar, they've testified about something that is irrelevant. True, if you've been starved two sets of Edim, then you can create halachic relevance. That's not true by cheskat shloshanim. Because each year has relevance. Why does it have relevance? David asks a good question. What relevance do they have? Without the other Edim, there's no relevance. There is relevance. Why? Because what happens if the other two sets of Edim don't show up? You know what happens? The field goes back to the owner. The field goes back to the owner, and this individual is chayav to pay the payroll back. It's not his field. We have Edim that you ate payroll on the field. You no longer have Migo. You lose your Migo because there are two Edim testifying that you ate payroll on the field. So these two Edim have halachic value outside of the cheskat shloshanim.
He himself says he was there for 3 years.
No, well, he has a Migo. If he says I was there. If he comes to court and says, I was there for 3 years and I ate payroll and that's what I was entitled to, he has a migo, because he could have said, since he could have said I was there, right, to buy it or I own the whole land, when he says it's payroll, you believe him. But as soon as you have a din that testifies he was there eating payroll, he loses his migo and he's not believed and he has to pay the payroll back. Unless he comes up with a chesed shlotimim or star, he loses the payroll. So that's what the Tosfos says. The Tosfos says the difference is whether you're testifying about something that has halachic relevance. In the case of sarot, when you testify one sayar, there's no halachic relevance to that. Here, even though you're testifying about a single year, and by itself, for chazakah, it's not enough, but for other areas of halacha, it has halachic relevance. It has halachic relevance, you have an edus. And Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Echad omer achlach chitim, v'chad omer achlach seorim, harizu chazakah. One comes along and testifies that he ate wheat, and one comes along and testifies that he ate seorim, that he ate barley. So now, it sounds like they two single edim are testifying about his 3 years, but one of them says he ate seorim for 3 years, and one of them says he ate chitim for 3 years. That's a simple way to read the Gemara. I'm telling you, the Rashi doesn't read this way. We'll go back to the Rashi in a second. Matin flor of Nachman el miyata. Echan amar achla rishonash lishit v'chamishit. So you have one comes along and says that he ate it the first, third, and fifth year. Echan amar achla shniyah revit v'shishit. Other one ate it two, fourth, and sixth year. Achan amidah v'chazaka. So that also should be a chazaka. Why? Because you're basing this on the Gemara we had earlier on Lamed Bet Amud Aleph. On Lamed Bet Amud Aleph, there Rabbi Shua ben Karcha says that if a two edim come and testify that one that he owes 200, and one can say 100, even though they're not testifying by the same maneh, between them we know that he's chayav maneh. Even though they're testifying that he owes different money, nevertheless, the common denominator between the edim is that he's owed 100. So that's what the suggestion over here is. That's what Rabbi Yehuda's shita is. Yehuda's shita is, listen, they both say 3 years. One says Sorim, one says Chitim, but they both talk about 3 years. The common denominator between them is what? That he was there for 3 years. So that's a good edut for Chazakah. So he says, oh, if that's the case, why do you need to have to be the same years? Have it be 1, 3, and 5, and 2, 4, and 6? If that's the case, right, then their common denominator is that he was there for 3 years. Why does that work? So I'm going to review the Achash. How can you compare these cases? What are you talking about? In the case where it's 1, 3, 5, and 2, 4, 6, they're testifying about different time periods. There's no overlap between them. You can't call that a common denominator. Over here, right, what they're testifying about the same period of time. It's the same 3 year period. What about, what are you going to say? What about the difference between, they're testifying about wheat and barley? So one says, no, love at that Dayudin She. People are not, people make mistakes. They make mistakes. When they look at it, they can't tell. Can't tell the difference, right? So I would have said they don't pay attention to these things. But the Rashbam formulates is that people make a mistake when they look at it. It's an active mistake. You could have formulated, I think, David, right, that people don't, that they're not just focused on what's there. But on the other hand, right. But that's not the way, if you look at the last line in the Rashbam, it's people don't distinguish. They make a mistake. Right. They don't, it's not that they don't pay attention, it's they don't know a difference. But either way, it's the same thing. All right. Now, the Rashbam, it changes the Gemara around. And that's, we had the way I explained it is that the same way that Tosfos explained it. The Rashbam has an unusual explanation here. And he says that, wait, how come the Gemara started over here? The comparison between the cases doesn't make so much sense. He says, what was the question of the Gemara? So he says, Rav Nachman lo haya yodea tamosh Rav Yehuda. Rav Nachman, when he asked this question, didn't know the conclusion of the Gemara, that people don't pay attention, right, or do not make mistake between Chitim and Sorim. Refresh the venue. Deben Chitim and Sorim ta'u in shape. People make that mistake. El Svirle de Hakamar Rav Yehuda, Echad Omer Achla Chitin, Vechad Omer Achla Sorim, Lav Pe'otan Gimel Shanim Kam Sahit. Rashi answers a new Chiddush, that when we talk about these two these witnesses, one witness testified 3 years he ate Chitim, and the next one testified about 3 years he ate Sorim, but not the same 3 years. They were a different set of 3 years. So that's why. Why is that? Because they were doing alternating years. Why were they doing alternating years? So one comes along and says he planted wheat 1, 3, and 5. The next one comes along and says he planted barley 2, 4, and 6. Why would you do that? Because the Rashbam says that's the normal way of planting. He says that they opt out my mind, instead of delaying doing the fallow field, they alternate crops. Right. Between, right, Chitim and Seorim. So he's listening to this line in the Rashbam. Right. Listen to this line. V'sha'alti lo ovdei adamah. I checked with the farmers. That's the way they plant. Right? Then you don't have to have a fallow field. So he says, I checked with the local farmers, and that's what they tell me is true. So he says, that's the case. Rav Nachman thinks Rav Yehuda's case is a case where they're testifying about alternating years of Seorim and Chitim. And then comes along, and Rav Nachman says, wait, if that's the case, that your shita is this way, right, then when they're not machishdezeh, so then, if one of them talks about Shnei Chazakah, right, and 1, 3, and 5, and one of them talks about 2, 4, and 6, right, that also should be a good Chazakah. So now, the problem with this, obviously, is then, what's the question of Rav Nachman? That's what Tosfos jumps on. Rashman, according to the way Rashman's reading it, Rav Nachman's question is exactly the case of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, that works, and Rav Nachman says, how does it, what do you mean it works? And he asks a question. He's basically, Rabbi Yehuda's a Shita, and he said he's questioning Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, but his question, right, is on the premise that Rav Yehuda is wrong. But okay, fine, but Rav Yehuda doesn't agree with you. He disagrees with you. That's what's the question. According to Tosfos, the question of Rav Nachman is that he's extending what Rav Yehuda said to a different case. And he's trying to apply it to a different case. And then we say he's wrong in applying it to the other case. That makes sense when you have a, you know, a question back and forth in the Gemara. To say Rav Nachman comes along and says, oh, if that's the case, then 1, 3, 5, 2, 4, 6 should work. What do you mean that should work? That's exactly what Rav Yehuda said. It does work. So according to the Rashbam, the following, or the next part of that Gemara, Rav Nachman doesn't flow so easily. Because if you look in the Rashbam, he says that, Hainuk Rav Yehuda, Hachanami, Davi Chazaka. Just like what Rav Yehuda says, it should be a Chazaka. Right, so but then the question of Nachman is that Chazaka B'Diluk doesn't work. All right, but why did he have to say it in a way or phrase it in a way that was exactly what Rav Yehuda said? He could have just said Chazaka B'Diluk doesn't work. Why does he rephrases it? Halkanami, that it should work 1, 3, 5, 2, 4, 6. That's exactly what the case of Rabbi Huda was. I mean, just so you know that there's a difference the way the Rashim explains the flow of the Gemara versus what Tosus explains the flow of the Gemara. The Chiddush is obviously where, until what point do you think, we saw this in the Gemara earlier with Rabbi Shimon Karcha, about when two Edim come and we said the common denominator between them makes them into a single Edut. How far does that common denominator go? According to Tosus, the common denominator, as long as they're testimony about the same years, okay, fine, Chit and Zorino, but it has to be at the same years. Whereas the Rashi was willing to entertain, in Rabbi Yehuda Shita, that it's three different years, and different crops, and nevertheless, they'll be classified as a chazakah, because of this dilug, that they alternate crops, but that'll still be considered a common denominator, and that will give you a chazakah. I mean, that's a far-fetched way of looking at the common denominator between them. Rashi was even more extensive. And we saw that, if you remember, back on Lamed Benam and Aleph, the Rashbam was much more extensive in his explanation of what was considered a common denominator. He says it wasn't the same day, right? It wasn't, but it was Mane Mane. That Rashbam went even further to extend what he thinks is a common denominator in Edut. Okay, we'll stop over here.